My name is Jesse, and I work with small businesses in the government marketplace. You're listening to FedBiz 5, where you get informed, get connected, and get results on everything government contracting. Hello, and welcome to another episode of FedBiz 5. Be sure to tune into our previous podcasts wherever podcasts are heard. Again, we are welcoming back Anthony Diatore.
Thanks.
Great to have you back, Anthony. How are you?
Good, thank you. Nice to be here.
All right, so Anthony, last week we talked about open solicitations and some of the benefits and challenges there. So to continue, what else can a business do to enter the federal market?
Well, there's a few different tracks that one can follow, and they sort of run parallel. One of them is the solicitation path, which we've talked about. Another one would be the subcontracting path. Very often, the quickest way to break into the federal market and to gain some history with the federal government is as a subcontractor. Now, there's also teaming and subcontracting. Now, they're a little bit different.
Okay. So what makes them different?
In a subcontracting arrangement, there's the prime and the sub. The prime contractor is the one who gets the contract, and then they take on a subcontractor. And if they're going after a solicitation, they have to know who that subcontractor is when they put in their bid for the solicitation. So the subcontractor has a responsibility directly to the prime. The prime has a direct responsibility to the federal government agency that they're working for. In a teaming arrangement, that's when two companies come together to present a stronger front. Right, and they register together. They have it's like a separate entity. Now that in that arrangement, as far as responsibility goes, they have an equal responsibility to the federal agency that they're working for. So that's the difference between those two. Another track that you can go through, like I was saying, is subcontracting, and the way to do that is to identify who are the companies, the commercial companies that are getting these projects now. Who's doing the work, the primary work for what it is that you do? Or if they're getting these larger contracts, what part of that larger contract can you take advantage of? Now, when you're looking for primes, very often it's the same tendencies that you would use if you were going directly to a federal agency and trying to present your company to them, which is something else we'll talk about sometime. But what one would do is go to that company's website, see if there's a place to register to do business with them or register yourself as a subcontractor. That's really prevalent in construction companies, IT companies, your larger contracts. But really any industry can subcontract. If a contract exceeds a certain dollar amount, then if a larger company is going after it, they have to include a subcontracting piece. So getting in there early, getting that company to, starting to establish a relationship with that company is a good way to kind of walk you down that path a little bit quicker. Very often, it's the most direct way for you to break into the federal market.
Fantastic. Can you tell me a little bit more about the teaming up?
Well, a teaming arrangement is pretty formal. It's a legal contract between these two companies. And that's what makes it a little bit more challenging to do teaming, because it has to all be agreed on ahead of time what the, what the dispersion of work is and who's responsible for what. So, but they actually register as a separate entity. So you have company X and company Y, and they realize, well, we do kind of the same things, or we have different parts of the same sort of service. If we teamed, we could go after larger contracts. But they would have to register as a teaming partner. That new teaming arrangement would have to get its own cage code, DUNS number, or I guess we're not using DUNS anymore, but cage code, and be able to present themselves as a separate entity from each of the individual companies. So it's a little bit more challenging from that point of view. It is. If you can find those companies, you can arrange those teaming arrangements it does provide a broader front for your company so that you can take on more work.
Wonderful. It sounds to me like it's definitely beneficial, but, you know, be cautious.
Right. And that's a good point. And you should do that with a subcontractor, too. You want to make sure that, I mean, I've heard stories from companies where they have, you know, horror stories about it, where not being diligent in the front end, not clearly defining what the split is, what the, you know, how much work are you doing, how much work are they doing. I mean, there are some parameters to that that are set by the government. You know, as a subcontractor, you can only do X percentage of work. But, you know, it's not unheard of for companies to sort of take advantage of each other. So, yeah, you want to have something written. You want to have something that you can fall back on in case that workload doesn't work out quite the way you thought it was going to.
Excellent information. We do appreciate it. I think that's going to conclude this week's podcast. Anthony, thank you so much for coming on. As usual, we appreciate your knowledge and information that you are willing to share with our listeners. Appreciate you coming on.
All righty. Thanks, Jesse. Good to talk to you.
This concludes this week's episode of FedBiz 5, where you get informed, get connected, and get results. Today's podcast is sponsored by FedBiz Access, government contracting made simple. Visit them at fedbizaccess.com or contact them at 888-299-4498.